those of you that want to know what we're all about. It's like this, y'all. Come on. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name. It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
All right. Good afternoon. Good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am Coach Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. You know, it is always fun to be able to bring you topics that are being discussed out there in the community, and people are always bringing things up. And over the years, I've heard high school players say, you know, eventually I just want to play overseas. And I hear now college players talking about trying to go overseas and play at the junior college level now that I'm there. And you know, there's all these myths and misnomers and misunderstandings about what it takes to play overseas. And so today we're going international in scope. We're going to talk about international basketball, the game of basketball as it's played across the pond, as some would call it, and down south in Mexico. So we're going to talk about international basketball, what your opportunities are like if you get a chance to go play, and how tough is it to go play internationally? Because you hear all these stories and people talking about it. So we're going to talk about that. But today I've got some breaking news for you. Today I checked in over at school today at Arcadia High School, and man, I got some news from an administrative source that informed me that the head football coach at Arcadia High School, Coach Jim Ellison, has stepped down from his football job. That's right. Coach Jim Ellison has resigned as the Arcadia football head football coach. And so I called Coach Ellison to confirm what was going on, and no answer. So I'll keep trying to get more information on there. But expect the head football coaching job at Arcadia High School to be posted. It's kind of late. You know, you're looking at July 30th, school starting here next week. So they're going to be scrambling looking for a coach. Don't know how that's going to shake out. I do know that, like I said, administrative source inside of Arcadia High School has informed me that Coach Ellison did step down, so Arcadia will be scrambling to look for a new head football coach. So get your resumes ready, those of you who are looking for a title, looking for a head title. So that breaking news is done. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some basketball. We're looking at the Olympics. Those of you who are following the Olympics and the Dream Team, and you're seeing, you know, it's funny, the influx of foreign basketball players into the NBA. As a matter of fact, I saw a statistic the other day that the San Antonio Spurs has 6 players off of their roster playing in the Olympics, and not one of them is on the USA Dream Team. Very interesting statistic. And I know that teams like Spain, they have players that are playing in the NBA that are also on their team. And there's just a litany of players that come over here and play in the NBA. And for years, people have talked about what it's like to go and play overseas. You know, if they can't make it in the NBA, I'm going to go play overseas. Well, there's a lot of rules and regulations and things that kind of come into play there. So all these people that you hear saying, I'm just going to play overseas, make it sound like it's really easy, guess what? It's not. And so today, we're going to give you the inside scoop on what it's like playing international basketball professionally. First off, we're going to bring on a guest that has played 13 seasons in different countries. We're going to welcome to the show international pro basketball player Peter Izugwu. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, did I say your last name correctly?
Yes, you said it pretty well.
All right, good.
I'll suffice with that. You did a good job.
All right, good. I just wanted to make sure. Now, you are a U.S. citizen, U.S. British citizen, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So you played college ball at Eastern Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now did you grow up in the States?
Yeah, I grew up. I'm a son of two Nigerian migrants. They migrated to England a long time ago. Both doctors, both of my parents. And I came to the States, started playing basketball early. Came to the States when I was 13 years old, to Cincinnati, Ohio. Went to high school out there, and been over here ever since.
Okay, and then you got a chance to play high school ball in Ohio, and got a scholarship.
Cincinnati, Ohio, for the Sycamore Aves, And then after that, I got recruited by various colleges after a rigorous recruiting process. Had to make a decision, and I chose Southeastern Michigan University. That's actually kind of a funny story, but to cut it short, I'm not sure I would make the same decision that I made, you know, all those years ago, but it definitely was a great experience. I enjoyed it, made some very crucial and pivotal relationships, and got the opportunity to go and play professional basketball after college.
Okay, now every basketball player dreams of making it into the NBA and playing, you know, for one of the NBA teams. I'm sure that you had the same dream.
Well, to be honest with you, my story's a little bit different. I wanted to be able to become a lawyer. I took the LSAT out of school. I, you know, graduated college with a very high GPA. I was honor roll every semester. So my goal was actually to become a lawyer. I was using basketball and my scholarship more as a vehicle to get to law school. I actually applied to a bunch of law schools, got accepted to about five law schools. It was only last minute that I had a really successful senior year, and I decided to play professional basketball because I was getting offers from different teams, and the money they were throwing at me at that time was more money than I had ever seen in my life. So I decided to do it.
Okay.
So, but that being said, I did have the same passion. I was just a realist at the time. I didn't, you know, the NBA dream was something that I'd rationalized and said, you know, that's going to be hard to achieve. I worked my tail off. I was focused on being a successful student athlete, you know, student athlete being the functional word there, and then athlete second. So that was the way that I approached things. That was the only way that my parents allowed me to approach it. But I just got, you know, so good at basketball that it became a no-brainer.
Okay, awesome. Now, you guys had some fun while you were at Eastern Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're 6'8", 240.
Well, right now I'm 6'8", about 265.
Okay, and what position did you play in college?
I played power forward.
Okay, so you're a forward in college, had the skill set to put the ball on the floor, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Put the ball on the floor, active around the basket, very aggressive, rebounder, position guy, shot blocker, dunker, hook shots left and right, step through moves, dish off from my point guard, Earl Boykins, for dunks, strong defender. You know, I was quick, so I was able to cover space, quick on defense to be able to come off, you know, on the strong side and help and defensive rotations and things like that.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about the process to playing overseas, because a lot of people think it's so easy. And you and I had a conversation when I asked you to come on the show about some of the myths and things about being able to play overseas. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, when you were done playing college ball and all of a sudden teams were coming to you, talking to you. Let's talk a little bit about that experience.
Well, you know, initially, I didn't know anything about the way the basketball system worked overseas. But I was intrigued by it. I was interested in it. I definitely didn't have the common misconception that exists now that it was going to be easy. I knew it was going to be different. I knew there was going to be a cultural gap and some different things that I would have to get used to and adapt to. But, you know, it was, the process was pretty much, I was playing an NCAA tournament, the NCAA tournament my senior year. I got a call from an agent, and he said he'd been scouting me since my junior year, and he wanted to know if I would be interested in going with his company. And I said yes, and I would be interested in entertaining it. But I told him my intention to go to law school, and he sent, you know, being a big, I was lucky in the sense that, you know, teams back then were looking for bigs, active bigs, quick bigs. And they sent me a contract as a rookie, and it was very reasonable, it was, you know, good money. And I considered it, talked with my family, and decided that I could put the law school thing on hold for a while and pursue this dream to play professional basketball, or this option, should I say.
Okay. So then your first team you ended up going overseas with was where, Italy? Is that correct?
Was France. I played in
France,
Dijon.
Okay.
And, I had an American coach that year. I played my rookie year. I played with Dante Calabria, who went to North Carolina. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, I definitely remember.
Pardon?
I definitely remember him.
Yeah, Dante. He was one of my teammates. I played with Jeff Lear, who went to Pepperdine. So those were my two American teammates. I filled the spot as a communitary because I had the British passport, which is, you know, often for a lot of Americans, what they'll be able to do is use their European passport to play, to fill roles that are more plentiful. As an American, you're usually filling a spot of two guys. So there's two spots for Americans on teams, sometimes three. So, you know, in Europe, it's usually two. So you'll be one of two Americans. They'll usually choose a guard and a big man or a forward, a scoring forward. And so I got to compliment these guys as essentially their third American in a way, on that team. And, it was a interesting year to say the least. The learning curve, whereas I'm a very quick learner, the learning curve for me was steep. I mean, I had some issues, adapting to the Euro game, understanding what was needed of me. There was nobody to nurture, the process like there is in college. I had to learn on the fly. You know, I was independent in the sense that, you know, I was thrown into this mix. I had to learn plays. I had to learn a system. I had to learn my role. Nobody sat down and told me my role. You know, so it was a very interesting process initially.
Very different experience, right?
Oh, yeah. So now, no coaches that are sitting there nurturing you along and telling you to shoot or do this, do that. You know, practice starts at this time, practice ends at this time. Everything you do before and after is your choice. You know,
okay, well, I don't want to brush over this one point, though, Peter, before we go to break, because we're going to go to break here real quick. But the first thing you threw out that I want everybody to understand and to make sure you take note of, athletes and coaches and those of you who are prognosticators and big basketball fans, if you're looking to go overseas, these teams only have a certain number of slots for American players, which means not everybody gets to play over there. You said two spots for Americans on the roster?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
two spots for Americans on the roster. And even more significant is you don't perform, you're out of there. You're getting cut, you're getting fired. They'll fire you in a heartbeat. And because of those two spots and because you are American and because basketball originated in America, they expect you to put up numbers. They expect you to lead your team to victory. They put everything on your shoulders, more pressure than you could ever imagine.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear more about international basketball from some other experts, from a head coach of an international professional team. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. We'll be back after these messages.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. And right now, what we're going to do is we're going to bring on another guest because we're talking international basketball. We're talking about what's the opportunity for look like for you to leave the country and to go play professional basketball and make a little bit of money. Right now, we're going to be joined by assistant head coach over at Scottsdale or over at South Mountain Community College, who is also former head basketball coach internationally of Mexico City basketball team. We're going to talk to Gil Lopez. Gil, are you there, coach? Oh, I guess we got him. He dropped off. We'll get him back here in a couple minutes. I'm sure he'll call right back in. So what we're going to do is we're going to call audible. We'll go to take a right-hand turn. What we're going to do right now is we're going to talk to a player who is a local talent. You guys all know this kid. He grew up playing ball here in the Valley, went to ASU, then transferred out of ASU to another school and blew up at the Division II level, became a great basketball player, has now got the opportunity to play basketball professionally, and is in the process right now of getting placed overseas. We're going to welcome right now to the show Taylor Rohde. Taylor, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, man, good to hear from you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I know that a lot of people here followed you as you went to ASU, and some people didn't know kind of what happened to you after that. Let's talk about what happened with your career after you left high school. You played for Coach Wild over at Pinnacle, correct?
Yep, Coach Wild
and then,
over at Pinnacle.
Yep,
for years.
Then you went to ASU, and mm-hmm. after you transferred from ASU, you went to?
Alaska, University of Alaska Anchorage.
That's right, Alaska Anchorage. Played 3 years there, correct?
2 years. Played 2 years in Alaska.
2 years in Alaska, and man, the last year, actually for the last 2 years, you put up some good numbers and you got a lot of recognition, but this last season, you really blew up and you had a very successful season. You were awarded National Player of the Year at the Division II level, correct?
Yeah.
Yep, and got all kinds of recognition. Let's talk about your experience, your college experience first.
Well, coming out of high school, I had a bunch of options. I mean, I committed extremely early. I think I committed my sophomore year in high school, which if I had to do it over again, I probably would have waited a little longer. But I decided to go to Arizona State University, and I went there for 2 years, and I believed I could play there, and I just wasn't getting the opportunity. So I decided to try to see if I could go somewhere else to play, and I decided, I didn't want to sit out a year, so I didn't want to go to another Division I. So I went to the Division II level, went all the way up to Alaska, kind of a culture shock coming from Arizona. I got along with my coaches well up there. It was a great system for me. I fit in well. I put up pretty good numbers both years, and All-American for 2 years and National Player of the Year my last year. So, I mean, it was a good move for me. It worked out well, and now because of that move, I have the opportunity to go play overseas. I just signed with a team in Germany, so I'm heading out there about August 14th, and I'm excited for that opportunity.
Well, excellent. Congratulations. I didn't know you signed.
Yeah, yep. Signed
outstanding.
About 2 years ago.
Okay, that's excellent. Now, let's talk about, a little bit about the process, because I know it just wasn't like, hey, okay, you graduated, you're National Player of the Year. Hey, here you go, sign this paper. You actually had to do a lot of work to get there, to get to the point where you could sign, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's basically the whole recruiting process all over again. I mean, you have to find an agent that you trust and that you can get along with, someone who's personable. I found an agent and you basically got to go rely on him to go get you a job. And my agent was very well. He went. He got me a couple offers, and he laid them out for me on the table. And I decided to go with the team in Germany just because I thought it would be the best fit for my rookie year. And basically, I signed the paper. And you go out there and you prove to everybody, because it's a different country. They don't know American players. They go off of tape and So you have to go out there and be ready to play and show them what you can do.
Okay. Now, where's your team? What's the name of the team you're going to be playing for?
USC Heidelberg.
Okay. And what level of basketball is that considered?
Pro A.
Okay, so that's Pro A, and Pro A is one of the highest leagues in Germany, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So now, how will people locally be able to follow you?
You can go on eurobasketball.com and click on the country Germany. You can follow every team in Germany, how they're doing, and the different standings, how different players are going. And then also the USC Heidelberg does have a webpage, so you can follow our team on there as well.
Okay. Now, Taylor, talk to us a little bit about, you know, your college experience in Alaska. Because, I mean, you know, we saw you play here locally when you were in high school, and I had the privilege to coach you. You were on that. You're on one of my favorite experiences, the coach's all-star game. We had a blast doing that game.
Yeah, that was a fun time.
You know, you guys were a great group of kids. We had a blast. And obviously, you have developed into one of the top basketball players at the Division II level, and if you did play D1, you still would probably be one of the top players. Let's talk a little bit about your development and what you had to do to get to the level you're at now.
You have to put in work every single day. I mean, I was in the gym 6-7 days a week, just putting up shots, working on my post move, working on my lateral quickness, in the weight room, and because everything's important in that level. You have to be on point every single day because somebody can come and take your position just like that. College, it's basically like a job. I mean, they're paying for your school, which is highly expensive, and they treat it like a job. They want to win, so you have to put in work every single day. I was in the gym putting up shots, working with my teammates, talking to coaches, watching film. It definitely was a big grind throughout the whole college career.
Okay. All right, so is there anything, any tips that you want to give to some of the high school athletes, some of the players that you know are listening right now that want to at some point follow in your footsteps?
Well, one thing I would say is definitely to dream big. The game is definitely 80% mental, so if you believe you can be the best, you can definitely be the best you can be. Don't let anybody bring you down. Work your hardest, and good things will come to people who work hard.
Okay. Now, what about this? What's the difference, in your opinion, because you were at both the Division I and the Division II level? Obviously, once you moved to a Division II level, you were able to flourish and really showcase who you were as a player. And, you know, a lot of people here, they get stuck on the whole D1 thought process. What is your position after having gone through the experience you've gone through with both levels?
Right. Well, definitely both levels are both highly competitive. I mean, our team, we play D1s every year, and we beat them, too. So, I mean, Division II is definitely not a joke. I feel like it looks down upon like a D1 or nothing. But I played at both levels. The biggest difference, I would say, between Division I and Division II is athleticism. I believe that Division II, they have just the same amount of skill level. They can compete. But Division I, they have all the athletes. They're quicker. They can jump higher. But, I mean, we did compete with Division I schools. I mean, we played Murray State, who was undefeated for the longest time, and we lost to them by 2. So, I mean, we competed, and we were one of the better Division II schools. But definitely the biggest difference between Division I and Division II is the athleticism. But if I had to tell anybody, don't pass up on a good Division II school because it definitely is competitive.
That's what I was looking for, to see if you would recommend that or not.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, is there anything that you want to say to the people who have followed you for the past several years here? You know, I know because you have a lot of fans in the area, man. There's a lot of people that really love following your career. Your name comes up on the boards often as one of the best players to come out of the area. So I'll give you a couple seconds to say whatever you want to say to the fans that follow you.
I appreciate all the support. I mean, I couldn't have been good enough to do anything without the support of everyone around me, and definitely my parents, my family, all my friends. I mean, I had a bunch of people who came to every single one of my games at ASU, so I appreciate all the fan support and everything that this whole community has done for me.
All right. Well, I hope to have you on again as a guest, and we'll talk about your pro experience. We'll talk about your world travels, because I don't think Germany's going to be your last stop, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovell. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back from the break, we're going to bring in Coach Gil Lopez. He's back on the line, so we're going to bring him in. We're going to talk about professional basketball south of the border. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovell. We'll be back after this message.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fan's perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Play ball! If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the offseason, look no further than the King's Corner, talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, talking baseball with Jim Leyritz, is heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely, and today we're talking international basketball. But before we go to our next guest, I got a special treat for all you listeners. Those of you who listen live, you get something special here. Now, if you send me an email during this segment with the subject heading saying Diamondbacks or D-backs, just send me an email at hssportstalk@yahoo.com with the subject heading D-backs. If you do that and you are the third email that I receive, you will win two tickets to the Diamondbacks game on the 21st of this month, of August. August 21st, two tickets. If you send me an email and you're number three, you will get two tickets to the Diamondbacks game on the 21st. Now, next up for our guest, we have Coach Gil Lopez, who's the assistant head coach over at South Mountain Community College, but has been the head coach of Mexico City at the professional level down there. So we're going to talk to him about his experience south of the border at the professional level. I want to welcome to the show Coach Gil Lopez. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Coach. It's glad to be on, man. I'm really excited about talking to you about international basketball, and let's have some fun with it.
All right. So, Coach, let's talk a little bit about your experience. I mean, you've been a coach now for a long time, and you had a head gig down there in Mexico, and you've been down several times. Let's talk a little bit about what it's like going south of the border and coaching at the professional level.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, and I was head coach at Los Titanes, which in English is the Titans. And it's in Mexico City, and it's in the league of, the initials are LNBP, Liga Nacional Baloncesto Profesional. And it's the top league in Mexico, and I was fortunate and blessed enough to give them the, I felt it was probably the best job in the whole league. I mean, Mexico City is a beautiful city. You got 32 million people in there, and that's kind of hectic. But this city is, I'm into culture and history, and it's very, very cultural and history-like, so, you know, I was really eager to go down there and make a go of it, okay? You know, I had a great team. I had a real good team, in fact. I had a kid named Sam Bowie from Mississippi, Eric Martin from the University of Oklahoma, and I was trying to bring it in Davin White, who's a Phoenix kid from Cal State Northridge. On that team also was Jesus Chino Lopez, who played for us at Southmont Community College, who's on the Olympic team in Mexico, Roberto Durazo, who's also on the Olympic team. He played for us at South. He's from Hermosillo. Both those kids are from Hermosillo, Mexico. So, and I had Luis Pulido, who played at Arizona Western and then went to Cal State Bakersfield on the squad. You know, as an experience, it's a great experience. It's a chance to grow. I mean, there's never a dull moment. There's a lot of ups, a lot of downs. You know, Peter was talking about, you know, it's a cultural adjustment. And the first thing I was told when I got down there was, Coach, man, Mexico will not change for you. You need to change for Mexico. And that's very true. That's a very true statement. You know, it's just a cultural, it's a cultural shock. Even for a Mexican-American like myself, I'm only second generation from Mexico. And I've been to Mexico a lot of times. But, you know, to actually go down there and live and really mix it up with the people, it's different. You know, it's different.
Okay. Now, you just rattled off a whole bunch of players, a whole bunch of different names. Now, Coach, when we were talking.
Hello? Coach?
Hello? You there?
Are you there?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
But when we had talked to Peter, Peter was saying that, you know, the roster had room for only a few Americans on it.
Right.
Is it any different down there in the LNBP?
In the LNBP, you're allowed three Americans. You're allowed three Americans, and in the past years, you were allowed two Latinos. Two Latinos consist of maybe kids from Dominica, Brazil, any type of Cubans, Puerto Ricans, any type of Hispanic Latino blood, right?
Okay.
And so then what was happening was the Mexican was not being developed. You had a lot of Mexican kids that are very good down there, but they were not being developed because all these, let's face it, you're going to play your three. Hang on. You're going to play your three Americans, and then you'll probably play your Latinos from maybe Brazil or some other country, right?
Right.
So then this year, they've changed the rules back to what it used to be, where you got three Americans and then two Mexicans. So, you know, they've gone back to the old rules. So now the Mexican player is going to get to play. But there's even a way that, you know what, if you're creative, you can get around that. Example was, I know that, for instance, you get a kid like Gabriel Sandoval. He's from Phoenix, Arizona. Played for us at South. Went to Division II school. And he's a first generation here. So you get him a Mexican passport. So now you got a kid that's playing as a Mexican, but he's really an American.
Right.
Lorenzo Mata, who played for UCLA, falls into that category. Orlando Mendez, who was at Western Kentucky. All these kids, you know, are from Mexican parents or grandparents. We can go back as grandparents. If you can prove that the grandparents or the parents were from Mexico, they can get you a Mexican passport and you play as a Mexican. So if you get certain teams down there, Coach, are loaded with American ball players playing as Mexicans.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now we talked a little bit about this offline, you and I, several times. But now that league is very competitive and is very tough.
Right.
And people don't understand the level of basketball. I mean, you've got several. Actually, you've got a guy who just signed this year who played for you, but signed to play for, was it Charlotte?
He played as Gustavo Ayon. You know, here's a kid that was 20 years old, had never played basketball. Adolfo Sanchez and I were on the tour team down there in Topeak, Nayarit. Found him, put a basketball in his hands. He played in the leagues down there in the LNBP with Jalapa, which is a good organization, and he played down there. And next thing you know, he got we sent him over to Spain. Guy really developed his body, in his mind, and this year he signed with New Orleans, and he just got traded to Orlando.
Oh, just got traded to Orlando.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is good for him. And then they also, New Orleans also, out of Jalapa, there was a kid named Squeaky Johnson that we had over there, and they signed him last year also.
So these players that are playing in these leagues are not players. I mean, because you and I have had these conversations, Coach, and I'm trying to drive home the point that it's not that easy to make these squads. These are very highly competitive basketball players that if you have any chance, any hope of making that team, you're not going to just be coming out of high school, blow off college, and take off and go play in overseas or down to Mexico.
No, that's not going to happen, Coach. You know, that's one thing I would try to tell these kids. And you've been with me, kids. Well, I want to go to Europe, and I'm like, yeah, right. You couldn't go to Mexico. Listen, man, you got to your mind and your body's got to be really developed. Your game. You're going against guys like Gerald Brown. Gerald Brown's a Phoenix kid. Played at Carl Hayden. Played at Pepperdine. Played a couple years with the Suns. He was down there playing. These guys aren't, you know, chump change. And then you got guys like Victor Avila. You know, even though he's from Mexico, he went to school in the States. Played for Scottsdale Community College. Went to University of Oklahoma, and Lorenzo Mata, these guys are big, tough, physical players. You know, and that's what you have to be. You have to be really, really strong, because there's no such thing as an offensive foul, Coach. You go in there, you're going to get your head knocked off. I've seen guys just come out of there almost knocked out, unconscious. It's physical, you know. It's a tough game.
Now, how much different is the international game? And I'm going to ask Peter this when we come back to him too, but how much different do you think the international game is in comparison to the American game, the American version of the game?
Well, I tell you, from what I observe, man, it's really physical. I mean, it gets to the point where there's some cheap shots thrown out there and nothing's ever called. And, you know, and like Peter was saying, it's very true what Peter said. You know, these Americans that go down there, you got to put up 20-plus a night. If you don't, you're going to get fired.
And it, yeah, you know, see, it's not like it is here when you have this long-term contract and they can't get rid of you. They just tell you go home.
Right, and as a coach, you can't miss when you bring guys in. You bring in a guy that can't play, man, you're going to lose your job. So, you know, you got to bring in these high-powered Americans that can play, that can give you 20-plus every night. You might want to, you know, the biggest thing in Mexico, this is what they look for. They want a one, which is a point guard, a three, the go-to guy, and a five. They want somebody, a beast, in the middle. And they figure Mexico's got enough people. Like Chino Lopez, 6'8", 245. He plays the four. And then they can find, they've got a lot of shooters. Victor Mariscal, one of the great best shooters I've ever seen, and he's down. And Noah Alonso, who played for Southmont Community College, he's 6'7", 240 now, and he plays the three. These guys are, you know, they've got expertise at each spot. But the Americans got to be a one, a three, and a five.
Okay. So you're really looking for players that are physically strong enough to compete at that level.
Exactly.
You're looking for players who have the strength to compete at that level.
Right.
I mean, from a coach's perspective, because I want these guys to understand and grasp what we're talking about here. First off, you got to be strong enough. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you have to be smart enough. What's the third factor you're looking for?
You got to be really disciplined. You got to be really disciplined. You're talking about a city like Mexico City, and they got a team in Cancun, Coach. Now tell me what kid about 27 years old is not going to want to go out every night.
Wow.
And that's one of the they've done well these last 2 years because they've got older married guys to play on the team. In the years past, they bring in all these young guys, right, and those guys, they couldn't control them.
Right.
You know, they're out in the and, you know, I mean, they're out having a good time. They're being young.
Right.
And so discipline comes in. You know, I was really fortunate when I had a veteran group of guys. Sam Bowie, God, I love this kid. In fact, he lives down there. These kids, he went down there, started playing, and never came back to the States. Got married to a beautiful young lady, has kids. But he's disciplined. You know, he's not the type of guy that's drinking and carousing on the streets. These guys are in their motels. We stayed at the Lark Hotel in Mexico City. All the guys had their own rooms. Meals were paid for, jacuzzis. But they were disciplined young men, you know. They were disciplined. I didn't have to worry about them out there in the streets going acting crazy or anything like that. And that's a problem also.
Well, and that's where the word professional comes in.
Right.
When you're a professional, you're expected to fine-tune your body and mind
right.
So that you can perform at the level that they're paying you to perform at.
And they're making money, Coach. I know, I'll tell you, I'll throw some figures at you. Americans down there, you know, it depends on the organization. If you're going to coach in Mexico or play in Mexico, The best situation is being a university team. Jalapa is a university team. Veracruz is a university team. Mexico City was not. It was owned by a private guy. So that way we struggled with money. You know, we struggled. But the university teams pay twice a month. They go first class, everything. They're paying Americans about $20,000 a month. Some of them are making $20,000 a month tax-free for 12 months. Okay, but they got a payroll of like $20 million.
Right. Wow.
Okay, so they're living pretty nice, and you know, they got all the now they got the bus that has the beds and stuff. And then you got these other teams that are Toluca. There's a team outside of Mexico City, about 45 minutes, and they struggle, and they're never going to win because you know what? They don't have the money. First of all, to bring in the top American players. And second, man, they don't pay on time, so they get disillusioned and they'll come home.
Ah.
You know, and those are the drawbacks, and those are the things that kind of give – I'm talking about Mexico right now. And there's only maybe about two or three teams that do this, you know. And, well, they don't pay you on time. Or, you know, next thing you know, man, you travel to a city. You're in a bus 18 hours, and you go to the motel, and their reservations aren't made. You know, so next thing you know, you're sleeping outside in the bus and eat out of a carton box. You know, So you got to be careful. You know, you got to be careful. You know, but I've been blessed and fortunate that I've never had to go through anything like that. But I know other coaches that have. I know a coach that was down there 1 year. He didn't get paid the whole year.
Oh.
Oh yeah, man. And you know, let's face it, man. We all got bills. We got kids. You know.
Right.
Child support we got to pay. But those are the negative things. You know, those are the bad things. And it comes down with money. But for the most part, man, if you go down there with an open mind and you really want to learn, you learn a lot about another country. You learn about your country. You appreciate your country a lot more. And you learn a lot about yourself.
Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to bring both guests on. And we're going to kind of get some of their last statements about what they think about playing international basketball. And if you're a player here in the States and you've got an interest in playing, what's the best way to get over there? I mean, we heard some of the downfalls that Coach Lopez talked about. We're here about, you know, some money issues over in Italy. We're going to talk a little bit about how do you find an agent. We're going to talk about all that stuff when we come back. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely, and we'll be back in just a few seconds.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steele, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steele Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. And right now, we're joined by two guests. We're gonna conclude the show with our two guests talking about international basketball. We're joined by international pro player Peter Izugwu and coach international former international head coach of Mexico City and a couple other teams, Coach Gilbert Lopez. Let's welcome those guys back to the show. And I want to start off with Peter. Peter, we talked a little bit about the last segment about finances and how much money could be made by players in Mexico. Coach Lopez brought that up. I want to talk a little bit about what it's like, you know, in the places you were at, because you've been in different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you still there, Coach? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. I've had a pretty good experience in terms of the money I made and the places I got to play. But we were talking during the break about the fact that, you know, I was always, fortunate to be in good places and get my money on time and get paid well. But I was always hearing horror stories from guys that were in the same league as me and, getting their money late, not getting their checks on, not getting their checks bouncing, teams that weren't providing suitable cars for their families or for, they probably couldn't even pass a, safety inspection. Apartments that weren't up to par with the way that they were supposed to be. I heard these stories all the time. So guys sit there and they think that, every story is, every situation is great, and it isn't. A lot of times your agent has to make 10, 20 calls a month just to get your check. And then a lot of teams are paying under the table because they don't want to, report the money to their local or national tax agencies so they don't get taxed on it. And there's no way to find out what the financial situations of those teams are before you get to them. You can find out, obviously, by doing your research of players that have played at those teams previously and what their experience was, but a lot of guys don't know those guys. Obviously, with the social media now, with Facebook and things like that, you can get a hold of guys, and I've done that in the past, to find out what the teams like that's offering me money. But, a lot of times you're going in those situations with blinders on, and I would concede that you're going to say, okay, they're giving me, let's throw out $10. I might only get $60. $6 of that $10. So, the laws and the way that the courts work, if you're going to sue the team, it can take a while. You look at a country like Italy right now, which is going through obviously the austerity measures with their taxes and people that have been, effectively not paying taxes for years, a tax system that doesn't work, companies that can't even verify the money that they are supposed to pay their players with before the season starts, and they're still launching their season, they're still getting approval to play in the league. FIBA's not, kind of looking the other way because these teams might have a history, but nobody's backing, checking and backing their financial status to be able to pay salary. And you're on your own. So you go over there, you take a leap of faith, team doesn't pay you, what do? You're expected to practice, but it seems like they're not expected to pay you on time,
Right, right.
Things we take for granted over here with the NBA, where guys are getting paid, millions of dollars, and they get guaranteed contracts. The worst thing that can happen to them is they get traded. The worst thing that happens to them is you go to a team, you get one payment, and you stay there because the president comes to you and say, hey, just stay a while, play a few more games, we'll get the money. You play a few more games, those few more games become 10 games, you still haven't got paid. Your agent's telling you if you leave, they'll look bad because they might talk about you in the media. You leave, they blast you in the media, it's hard for you to find a new team, you didn't get your money, you played those games, because you took a leap of faith, but it didn't pan out.
Now listen to these stories that you're sharing with me, man. I know because Gil shared some things like that about Mexico. So it's got to be tough to play internationally when here I'm sitting here in the States and I want to go play in Europe or Italy or Mexico. How do I find somebody who knows the ins and outs of those leagues and those teams that won't put me in a situation like that? My agent, how does that even come about?
Great question, Coach. You have to, obviously there's different ways to find good agents online, look at their roster of players, talk to those players that they have on their roster, how they deal with their players, talk to the agent, fill him out, figure him out, talk about how he works, how he operates. if you communicate. I've had bad agents, I've had great agents. I've had agents that never communicated with me all summer to even see if I was working out, but they called me, you know, almost like clockwork and told me that they had me a job. And I didn't like that. I wanted to know what was going on. I wanted to know what process they were implementing to help to find me a job, who they were talking to, what kind of positions, what kind of countries they were trying to put me in, what was the pay range, how is that team situation. So I wanted to know what they were doing during the process. That's just the way I am. Some players can sit there and wait all summer and get a call in August, and you're going to Egypt or you're going to Peru, or, you know, and they're like, okay, I'm going. I can work that way. So if you don't have a lot of patience, then European or international basketball isn't for you, because, you know, some of these agents, they'll sign you, but they're not really pushing you. They've got players, 40 players on their roster. 25 of those players are more important than you and will make them more money. Let's take it even a step further. They find you a team. They know the team's not going to pay you. This will be a bad agent, obviously. They know the team's not going to pay you, but they'll get their commission, because they'll say, look, I'll get this guy. I'll send him over there for you. You just make sure you pay me my commission. You know, you can pay him one of his checks, and then we'll just kind of string it along as much as possible so you get this guy essentially for free. Then we'll get him out of there, and you would have got him, you know, playing for next to nothing. So there's a lot of relationships that are going on behind the scenes that players don't know about, that they're not privy to, and they get themselves in situations where they're not getting paid, and the agent's getting taken care of, but the agent's acting like they didn't get their money. They're lying to you. Oh, I didn't get my money, but so let's get you out of there. But they got their money. So
wow.
I mean, it can be bad. Again, I've had situations where I knew my agent was, you know, had more of the team's interest than mine, but
right.
I still got my money. You know, towards the end of my career, I would tell teams, look, if you want me to practice, you know, I was a consummate professional, but if you want me to practice, if you want me to be the good teammate that I am and help bring your team.
Did we Hello? Lose him?
Hello?
We must have lost him. Okay, so Gil, let's talk about, because we only have a couple minutes left in the show, but let's talk
I'm
about, because I know you protect your teams.
My bad, I'm still here.
Oh, there you are.
Sorry.
Okay, so Gil, let me ask you a question, because we only have 2 minutes left to go, but I know you protect your players, and I know you bring guys down to, when you were there, you brought guys down to Mexico that you were close to.
Right.
You know, is that one of the things that you put in place to make sure your guys were taken care of?
You know, Coach, I've always been like that. I've always been a quote-unquote a player's coach. I remember one time when in Mexico City, guys hadn't gotten paid yet, right? So they're having this meeting. So I walk into practice, and Coach, when we haven't got paid, we're not going to practice today. And my first thing out of my mouth was, all right, no problem. Just go home. And the owners got upset with me, of course. But, you know, these guys, you need to get paid. And in Mexico, you don't deal with too many agents, Coach. Some
right.
guys got agents. A guy like Chris Hernandez out of Stanford, he had an agent, so he was going to Jalapa, so he's going to get treated pretty well.
Okay.
But the guys I had, they had no agents, and they were making their own deals. And, you know, you might sign for maybe, I signed for $7,000 a month, tax-free, as a coach, right? Mm-hmm. First month was good, second month was good. Then all of a sudden, well, Coach, we're going to drop it down to three. No, you're not going to drop it down to three. But that's what they do to the players also. And
wow.
I learned that the next time I go down there, I want to ask, and I tell the players to do this also. You ask for your first month and your last month's advance before you even step foot in that city.
Mm-hmm.
Have them put in your bank account. Then you go down there.
Well, there you go. That's some great advice.
You can leave. Because sometimes, Coach, and I know Peter probably knows about this, you're thousands of miles away, and Mexico's not that too bad. There's only a three-hour flight to Mexico City. But
mm-hmm.
some of these guys don't have no way back.
Yeah.
And they're stuck
wow.
there.
So, you know, I got to cut the show because we're out of time. Obviously, this could be a great show if we continued on, because some great stuff's coming out of it. I hope you as listeners were able to take some notes. If not, listen to the podcast, pull it up on iTunes. But there's some stuff here that you need to really consider before you think about packing up and leaving the country to go play pro ball. These guys gave you a wealth of information. You listen to a former head coach, and you listen to a former player that has spent 13 years playing pro ball outside of the United States. Some excellent, excellent information for you here. I want to thank my guests for joining us today. And, you know, I'm going to put a website up on the Facebook page, the Coach's Corner, so that you can find out a little bit more about what Peter's doing in his training and his camps and stuff for players here in the area. And obviously you can find out more about Coach Lopez through South Mountain. And I want to thank you for listening. This is the Coach's Corner. Remember, leave it better than you found it. We got to get out of here. Peace.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, Peter.
The game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.